So I recognize that there is one life, one power, one presence that is in and through, around, expressing as all things we see and all things we can't see. This life is infinite, unconditional love. It is infinite peace. It is deep understanding. This light, this presence, this power is the very presence and power that has created all things and has created me and you. It has created this center and all of us here today. This presence and power blesses us, and we bless it by our expression of this divine throughout this service. I know that this service is a blessing not only to each one of us, but to all of those that we interact with beyond this center. I know that every word that is spoken today brings awareness, light, inspiration, healing. And I know that every note of music brings the same inspiration, healing, love, and peace. We are deeply blessed right here in this place. And we are the blessing to our world. So I give thanks for all that's about to unfold, knowing that the law is always saying yes to all the words we speak. So I release these words with deep gratitude into the action of that law, knowing it is already done. And we can say, and so it is.
This whole year, we're working on the idea of spirituality in action, taking it to the streets, if you will, moving our spirituality into action. It's nice to feel really, you know, when I was a practicing Zen Buddhist for many years, and what finally got me out of that was the fact that I was having beautiful, wonderful, deep spiritual insights, and I couldn't pay my rent. You know, I couldn't take that out and put it into action in my life. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Zen Buddhism, but my interpretation, my experience of it, of my practice of it, I couldn't put it into action in any formal way. So it's wonderful to have deep spiritual insights, but we also have to then, from that, move into actions. I was talking with somebody just before the service who also talked about that they had spent a life doing a lot of action, a lot of service, but hadn't really necessarily gotten into the inner and wants to come into that place. And so we have to have a balance. We have to have that yin-yang energy, that dance, if you will, of the in-breath and the out-breath of spirit. So we have to go within, and we have to move without, and find that balance, find that flow that works for us. So this month, we're looking at the idea of integrity. Integrity. And today's talk around that is living a spiritual life. How many of you are living a spiritual life? Everybody should have their hand up. Because if spirit is all there is, and that's what we teach, then guess what? You're already living a spiritual life. We're already living it. We can be awake to it, we can be asleep to it, but we are already living it because there's only this one life. However, we have these ideas about what a spiritual life means, right? Sometimes it involves maybe monasteries or ashrams, and it involves robes, and it involves beads, maybe a begging bowl somewhere, and it certainly doesn't involve flashing shamrocks, right? That's not a spiritual. Spiritual leaders don't wear flashing shamrocks, right? Yeah, different kind of spirit. What if it's not, if that's not what a spiritual life is actually about? What if instead it's about living authentically who you are, who you came here to be? A couple weeks ago, I was listening to a minister talking at our leadership convention, and he talked about that he doesn't believe in religious science anymore. Doesn't believe in it. He knows it. He knows it. And he used the example, just like you know you have a back of your neck. How many of you were aware of the back of your neck just a moment ago? Didn't have any focus on it, right? But you have one, right? Have you ever seen it? Nope. Can't see it. Maybe a couple mirrors. I think you need a pair of mirrors, actually. Or somebody with a camera to walk around while you're watching on a monitor. But we can't see it. You know, and I love this because that's how spirit is, the spirit that lives within us. You know, in the Quran, it says that Allah is closer than our neck vein. And Jesus says that it's closer than our breath. We can't see our neck vein. We can't see breath. We can see the effect of breath, but we can't see breath. But that's what spirit is. It's here. How many of you know that you breathe? Okay, pretty aware of that, yeah? Okay. But we don't see it. And so we have this authentic self of us that we don't necessarily see, but we see the effects of. We see the results of when we're living authentically. And so I want to talk about that a little bit today, about knowing that we are living as our conscious self. See, this morning while I was having breakfast, I noticed there was a robin sitting in the tree. Pretty little robin. Is the robin living a spiritual life? Yes, can't do anything else. Is it aware that it's living a spiritual life? No. It's probably not. It's unconsciously living a spiritual life. Most of us live life unconsciously, right? Until we wake up. Until we start to ask what else is there going on. See, we are points of consciousness that have choice. We are points of consciousness that have volition. We have free will. So we can live from our authentic self, or we can ignore our authentic self. I've done both. Probably you have too. So what is this authentic self? We all have kind of a vague idea about it. And sometimes we, you know, here in nice spiritual centers, we talk about living authentically and living from your higher wisdom self and all that. What the heck does that mean to each of us individually? What is my? What's the unique, special, specific reason that I've chosen to be on this planet, in this body, at this time? Because the universe is taking the time and energy to be you. Notice that? Nudge your neighbor. The universe is taking the time and energy to be you. Over here, nudge your neighbors. I see you all kind of sitting over there. Move. Yeah. Okay? Many of you have seen the famous TED talk by Simon Sinek, who says we need to know our why. We need to know our why. See, we all have stuff that we do. We're parents, we're grandparents, we're spouses, we're single, we have this career, we go to the spiritual center, we whatever. We have certain things that we do. But the question is, why? Why is it that we're doing this? What is my calling? What is my deep, specific call to this? What is the unique thing that I bring, that I am, that if I wasn't here bringing this, the world would miss it? Because each of you is that. And half the time, most of us, myself included, play small. Oh, if I left, the world wouldn't care. Right? Anybody? What's the universe's purpose for being you right now? Because the fact that you and I, all of us, exist is the universe wanting us to be, wanting to express itself as you and you and you and each and every single one of us. It wants us here. So we've all felt what it's like to be living in and as our authentic self at times. It's times when we felt fulfilled. It's times when we felt like we're really on purpose. How many of you have had at least a moment somewhere in your life where you felt like that? Okay? It's times that you've made a difference. You've felt truly fulfilled. Now, I want to give you a truly fulfilled difference between momentarily fulfilled. Last night, I was eating a piece of chocolate lime cake, dark chocolate lime cake, watching my Oregon Ducks take apart the Washington Huskies in the championship for the Pac-12. I felt fulfilled for about 5 or 10 minutes. It had nothing to do with my essential purpose of why I was here, right? And so we've all had five-minute fulfillments, right? You know, you take a warm bath, you feel good for a little bit, whatever. That's not the kind of fulfillment I'm talking about. I'm talking about the kind where your soul vibrates and says, yes, that was me. That was my authenticity. That is who and what I came here to do and to be. If you take the time to look at these, you can connect these times and find a theme within them that starts to give you clues towards who you came here to be and what you came here to do. The way you might phrase this is, I contribute this. What is it you contribute, you uniquely contribute? By the way, this is one of the questions I'm sitting with this coming week on my retreat for me. I'm getting clear on that for me. I'm not only in the ballpark for myself, I'm in the infield, and I'm probably circling near home plate, but I'm not there yet. And so I plan to spend this week sitting with that question. I contribute this so that that happens. Each of us contributes the uniqueness of who we are. Have you noticed there's nobody like you? Okay. Each of us contributes. Yeah, I saw Denny wipe his brow. I was like, oh, thank God there's nobody like me. I feel the same way about me. Each of us contributes. Each of us has a contribution to make, and we have an effect on the world and the universe because we contribute it. You can start to see what your unique joy and motivation, your sense of fulfillment is as you look at these moments in your life and find out, what was I doing and what was I expecting to happen as a result of that? Now, you might have failed, by the way. What you were going for might not have actually happened, but you felt authentic doing it, right? Okay? It might not have met approval of other people, but you felt authentic. You knew you were being yourself doing that in that moment. You felt good and authentic that you tried. Many of us operate out of a shadow, what I call a shadow why. And the shadow why is something to protect us, to keep us safe, to keep us from whatever it is that we fear. A lot of us operate that way. That's our why, to stay safe. And I'm going to play small. But that's not the authentic why, is it? And then, of course, we have our ego that says, you know, we come across our authentic self. We come across this brilliance that wants to express as us and does want to have a shift in the world around us, whether that's the whole world or whether that's just a little part of it. But we want to play with that. And our ego says, oh, who are you? I can't do that. No, I'll just stay here. It's safe here. Anybody besides me ever meet that little voice? Okay. So that's how many of us operate. But what I want to invite us to do today is to start to look at what is our true authentic self. So I'm going to invite us to do a little guided meditation, if that's all right with you. And even if it's not all right with you, we're going to do it anyways because I like to do it and it fulfills me. And hopefully, it'll create a shift for some of you. So I'm going to invite Max to put on a little bit of background music there. We're going to start the process of seeing if we can connect more fully with our authentic self and our purpose for being here. So if you'll take a moment to take a deep breath, if you feel safe, gently close your eyes. Let yourself relax. Feel supported in the pew or the chair that you're sitting in. And just take another deep breath and relax. At this moment, you have nothing to do. You're just a being sitting in a chair breathing. And that's it. Imagine now, in your imagination, that you get up from this space and you begin to walk along a path. Begin to walk down a path. This path is going to lead you to a sacred space for you. A place where you feel safe, where you feel empowered, where you feel loved. Where you tap into your wisdom. Allow yourself to walk that path until you come to that place. And then to step into your sacred space. Look around at this space. Notice what you see, notice what you hear, notice what you smell. Reach out and touch something and notice how it feels. Let yourself be fully grounded in this sacred space. Take a breath. Breathe in that air of that sacred space. And into this space, you're going to invite a guide to support you in becoming more aware of that authentic self that you are. It might be your own higher wisdom self, or you might imagine it as another person, a being, an animal. But a guide that helps you to bring forth and see your authentic self. And as you sit in the presence of that guide, become willing. Become willing to more deeply connect with that authentic self that you already are. To have it become more fully revealed to you. For you to have a deeper sense of it. Be willing. And now along with your guide, you lift up from this sacred space to where you can look high overhead and look down. And what you see as you look down is your life. The flow of your life up to this moment. And just notice it as just a flow. You don't have to become emotionally involved with it. You just notice it. It's a flow. And with the help of your guide, notice the points in this flow that stand out as examples of you being truly authentic, that stand out as moments where you felt your best, where you felt really deeply, authentically fulfilled. Notice those points. Don't worry about if somebody approved of them or if they were successful. Just notice them. Ask your guide, your higher wisdom self, to help you to begin to see the why, the what motivates you, what is my uniqueness that shows up as a theme throughout all of these events. Help me to see my real purpose in being in form now. And we'll take a few moments to do this. Ask this higher wisdom self to help you to see more clearly. Who did I come here to be? These experiences, these stories, these highlights, these jewels in your life stand out. And as this becomes more clear, as your why, as your purpose, as your authentic selfness becomes more clear, ask your guide, your higher wisdom self, to now show you how. How am I to express my authentic self in my life now? How have I expressed it in the past, and how am I to express it now? How do I set this in motion? In the process of visioning, we ask the question, what is trying to be birthed through me now? What wants to emerge? You might ask the question, what is it that I'm here to do that I want to have done by the end of my life? Not a bucket list, but an authentic fulfillment purpose. What is it that at the last moment of my life I could look back and say, ah, I did that? And how did I do it? Take a deep breath. Whether you feel complete with this process or whether you feel it's still kind of in process for you, trust that that spirit within you, that deep self within you, will continue to make itself known to you. And so for now, we're going to return back to your sacred space with your guide. So see yourself coming back from this high overview and returning back to that sacred space. We're in a school, we've been called back from recess. And so as you sit in your sacred space, look around at that space, notice if anything has changed. And as your guide is still there, ask your guide if there's anything else that he or she or it wants to tell you. Anything else you should know. Take a deep breath. And thank your guide, your higher wisdom self, for the support, and knowing that that higher wisdom self, that guide, is always there to support you. You let them go. And now you yourself begin to prepare to leave this sacred space to return to this space here in Olympia. Knowing that you can return to this sacred space anytime you want, it's your sacred space. And so thank your space. Feel the gratitude. Step onto the path that leads you back and arrive at your body, sitting in the chair or the pew that you're in, here in the Nova School, the meeting of the Center for Spiritual Living Olympia. Let yourself be fully grounded in your body. Perhaps wiggle your fingers and toes, roll your shoulders. Take a deep breath. And gently, when you're ready, open your eyes and be fully, fully present here. I invite you to let this process continue to work within you. You may experience something tonight in your dreams or in the next couple of days, or you may experience it while you're taking a shower or driving or something else, something may pop. So just know that whatever happened, you've opened up a door and the answers will continue to come. And you may sit there and go, I got nothing out of that right now. Something is still turning. You were willing, you were open. So let that happen. I want to leave you with one more thought. We live in a world that likes to play finite games. Finite games. Finite games are games where there are fixed rules. You know the number of players. There's start lines, finish lines. There's winners and losers. And the object is to win the game. How many of you know the kind of games I'm talking about? Okay. You know, we see them in structures such as basketball or football or baseball. We see them in business. We see them in lots of aspects of our lives. Okay. The universe is operating in an infinite game. And an infinite game has an unknown number of players. They can come and go. The rules are changeable to whatever supports the highest and best. And the object of the game is to perpetuate the game. It's not to win or lose. It's just to keep the game going. Life is an infinite game. We have rivals. We have people who call us to our best, but they're not competitors to be beaten down, right? And so our authentic self plays in infinite games. And our small ego-based self, our separation-based self, wants to win the finite game. And so just notice that as you're working with your authentic self, you're working in an infinite game, and it feels different. It feels different. You're not there for just I win, you lose. You're there for we all win. We all win. What's the highest, the best that I can create? We work out of a unitive consciousness. So take that with you this week. Now I'm going to invite us to do three spiritual practices. Number one, continue to ask to know your authentic self more clearly and fully. Take some time in meditation this week. Take some time in journaling this week and ask that wisdom within you. Continue to reveal to me my authentic self more specifically, more clearly until I have it nailed, until I know it. Number two, pay attention. Pay attention this week. When do I feel fulfilled, truly fulfilled, and when do I feel out of alignment? Just notice that. That'll give you clues. When do I feel fulfilled? When do I feel out of alignment? And number three, then continue to ask, how can I live more fully as my authentic self? Not my separation-based ego self, but my authentic self. Begin to reveal to me how I can apply that in my life. So that's our three practices. Ask to know that authentic self more clearly. Pay attention to what you're doing this week and just notice where you feel in alignment, where you feel out of alignment, and then continue to ask how to reveal it. You want to play with that this week? You want to play with me with that? Because I want to play with that. I'm going to close with a quote from Ernest Holmes, who says, if you could realize the tremendous power of attraction that holds everything in its place, it is yours. It is yours. It is this gift. It is the divine birthright of every living soul. But we limit ourselves by thought of limitation. We limit ourselves by our thought of limitation. Now, we must open up the doors of our consciousness and expand and expand and expand. And no longer think in terms of the backyard lot, but in terms of the infinite nature in the terms of the universe. You and I are being called to be aware and awake that we are beings in an infinite universe playing an infinite game. Join me in playing with that. Let's move into prayer. And in that consciousness of prayer, I simply know that there is this one life. Whatever the appearances are, there is more than the backyard lot. There is more than winners and losers. There is more than the basketball court or the football stadium or whatever. That there is this infinite presence, this infinite life, this infinite love, this infinite power, beauty, joy, grace, abundantly, opulently, lavishly expressing itself, being itself. It just is being itself. And because it is all that there is Each of us is already, right here, right now, one of this life. We already are that. We don't have to create an authentic self. We already are the authentic self. We're just waking up to it. We don't have to make ourselves more spiritual. We already are spirit in form. We're just waking up to it. And so I speak my word that this week we wake up more fully. Each person in this room, each person who hears the sound of my voice, wakes up more fully. Even people who don't hear the sound of my voice or are not in this room wake up more fully. That we as a planet are waking up more fully to this authenticity, this authentic self, this high vibration, this light within us, this everlasting eternal light within us, and are living more and more and more fully from that. I speak this word not as an individual, but as an expression of a divine that is already doing this, being this, already is this. We just simply agree, wherever two or more are gathered in agreement, we simply agree that this is what is happening on this planet, and this is what is happening in our lives individually. That we are saying yes to and opening up and awakening to the greater expression of ourselves, our authentic selves. And in gratitude for all the good that comes out of that, and in gratitude for the love that is expressed from and as that and through that, I release this word into what we call the law, that process that it knows how to do, and we don't have to figure it out. We simply say yes. We are willing. And it is done. It is so right now. And so it is.
Today in the teens room, we were talking about integrity. And wow, we were talking about having integrity with ourselves. And the thing that we discussed was that in order to have integrity with ourselves, we needed to first realize who we were. And who we are can be comprised of our values and our passions that we share with other people that we value more than other things. Like, we wouldn't just give it up for, oh, I want to go to the park, but I promised somebody else that I'd do this. Like, it's not something that you would give up that easily or give up for money, for example. And I think Dustin has something to say from what they learned in the kids' room.
So what we learned from the kids' room was about, like, a girl with a book called Extra Yarn, where this girl had so much yarn in a little box, she, yarned at least her dog, herself, a sweater, a guy that was jealous, lol. And, then there was, some more dogs kind of looked like bears in the book. And, oh, and then she started knitting houses, lamps, and cars, trucks, boats, I think. Okay. And the message at the end of the story was, that no matter what, you had the choice to either keep what you completely love and that you do, and that if you don't like it much, well, I'm not going to say that anymore. I just like the love. so then people that do that, like a girl with the dot, she just went like... with the dot. So then she showed it to the teacher. Next morning, she saw it golden bladed on behind the teacher on her wall. And so yeah, her message was she is awesome at making what she likes. And at the beginning, when she did the dot, she even wrote her name down And then that's when the teacher next morning put it in a golden plated picture frame on the wall.